Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Sister Donna Deckard, and this is the House of Ephraim show with Cradle of Hope on March the 5th, 2024, and it is Teachers Tuesday. But first, a word from our announcer.
And now from Cradle of Hope are some important announcements for you. This month from Cradle of Hope is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Welcome back. This is your host, Sister Donna Deckard, and this is the House of Ephraim Teachers Tuesday. Yes, it is. And I want to remind each of you that April quarterly is coming up. That's April 5th, 6th, and 7th. And we need you to get your registration in ASAP. And I thank everyone who is already registered. I'm telling you, it's going to be an exciting quarterly. And you come expecting God to give to you the miracle that you need. Those of you that's made this a faith project, I know you've had to battle darkness, but you just keep swinging the sword, okay? You keep speaking the word. You keep believing God, and you will make it to quarterly. And that's what you have to do. You have to fight the good fight. You have to fight the good fight. You know, there's people fighting fights everywhere, but the good fight is the fight of faith. And you need to fight that fight of faith that you can make it to quarterly, because God will meet your needs. Check out our itinerary page at our website, www.jewishprophet.com, for more information. We also have Sabbath Fellowship, and that's available on our YouTube channel, Jewish Prophet, and that is hosted on Friday evenings with Prophet Mark Reimbold. We also have a Wednesday evening service that is done by myself. And, of course, we have this blog talk radio station 5 days a week with the late Prophet Deckard and myself. If you need any information how to tune in to any of these services, email us at cradle@jewishprophet.com, and we will get that information out to you. Just email us there at that email, cradle@jewishprophet.com. Well, last week, we started a new series called Seize the Kingdom of God. Seize the Kingdom of God with force. Seizing the kingdom of God with force. You have to be determined. Just like I said, some of you have been believing God to make it to quarterly. You've been struggling. You've been battling. There's all kinds of things that have come up that would cause you not to be able to come to quarterly. I'm telling you, I've heard every excuse in the book, and I have. Family, health, finances, job, relatives, all kinds of things to stop you from coming to the quarterly. Because why? Because God has something for you. Because when you get into that service, you get under that anointing, God is going to do things for you that you don't even know need to be done. And it is a battle. It is a spiritual battle. And we win the battle with the word of God. We swing that word. We use it like a sword. Turn with me to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. Now, what is Isaiah saying here? He's saying that you need to return to God. You need to rest in God, and you'll be saved. You need to have calmness, quietness, and confidence and trust in God, and that will be your strength. You see, when you take God's word about a situation and you begin to speak that word over and over again, you begin to pray it, and you ask God for other scriptures for that situation, that is coming to him, that is resting in him, and that will bring you strength and confidence. That will bring you the quietness, the calmness, because you know that you know that you know that God is in control. But Isaiah said he wasn't willing to do it. You weren't willing to do it. You weren't willing to find the scriptures about the problem that you had. You weren't willing to put your confidence and your trust in your God. You weren't willing to do what it takes to fight the battle of faith. He said you weren't willing. You weren't willing. Lord Jesus, I hope I don't stand before God and he say, you weren't willing to do it. You weren't willing to do it. What is it going to take? What is it going to take for you and I to be willing and obedient? What is it going to take? Turn to me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, power of his might. You see, we try to be strong in us. We try to be strong in what we can do. We try to do things in the power of our might. But he says we're strong in him and in his power. And his power is faith. His power is you and I having faith in him That's where the power is. The power is having faith in him and his word. Because his word will not return void. His word will not return and not accomplish what it was supposed to do. Yeshua said, we're going to the other side. They went to the other side. But there was a battle in the midst of going from one shore to the next. And Yeshua didn't lose any sleep over it. He lay down and rested. He led, because why? Because his confidence, his strength, his calmness was in the fact that he had spoke by faith, we're going to the other side. But the disciples didn't have the calmness and the strength in his word. No, they saw the storm, and that's what you and I do. We see the storm. We see the circumstances that is holding us back from what we're believing God for. And we look at the storm. We look at the wind of those circumstances. We look at the waves of those circumstances. And we're like, God, I'm going to die down here. God, I want to go to Quarterly, but there's a storm out there and I can't get to the other side. God said, put your strength and your confidence in him. Not in the storm. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10 through 20. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the storms, against the wiles of the devil, against all the things that the devil puts in your path to completely stop you from doing God's will in your life. Put on the armor of God that you can stand. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But you know what? We get to thinking we're wrestling against flesh and blood. Oh, Sister Donna, the problem I have is my boss. My boss won't let me off to go to Quarterly. Oh, Sister Donna, the problem is my neighbor. My neighbor is constantly giving me problems. Oh, Sister Donna, my problem is my spouse, my family. Oh, Sister Donna, my problem is the relatives. No. No. Your biggest problem is you. You are the problem. You're the problem. Because you have to put on the whole armor of God, and you have to understand that this is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. And when you can understand that it's a spiritual battle that you are fighting, and that you have to fight it in the spirit, and you have to use the armor of God. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, once you've done everything, you spoke them, you found the scriptures, you prayed them, you believed them, you spoke them. Once you've done all to stand, verse 14 says, stand therefore. Just keep standing. Just keep standing. Send out those angels and just keep standing, knowing that the battle is in the spirit. It's when we quit standing that we lose the battle. When we quit standing, when we sit down and say, I give up, we just tied the angel's hands and they can't battle anymore for you. They can't do it. Having done all the stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. The truth what? Of God's word. We're going to the other side, Yeshua said. Have on the breastplate of righteousness. Every day you ask God to forgive you for your sins, known and unknown. So you will be righteous, in right standing. Have your feet shod with the preparation. And notice that says preparation. Preparation. That means you've done your homework. The preparation of the gospel of peace. You have to find the scriptures that cover the situation. And as you find those scriptures and you start to speak them and pray them and meditate them, study them, peace will come. Peace will come. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherefore, you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It's a battle out there. He is going to throw fiery darts at you. We get the idea that, oh, it's all going to be hunky-dory. No, we're going to have fiery darts thrown at us. And we're going to have that shield of faith that says, we're going to the other side. Because that's what God's word said. That's the word of God. We're going to the other side, and you got to know how to use that shield. You got to know how to use it to ward off those fiery darts that's coming. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. Pray always in all prayer and supplication. I love this verse. Pray always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. All prayer. You know, there's the prayer of faith. There's the praying in the Spirit. There's several different kinds of prayers. But we are to pray in all, whatever prayer is needed for that situation, but pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Not only praying for your problems, but you need to be praying and interceding for others. And the key is when you're praying for them, you pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. As for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. You see, there is a boldness that comes when you know that you know. There's a boldness that comes when you know that you know. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Now, we're talking about seizing the kingdom with authority. You see, that boldness comes because you know you have the authority. Shika hashekoho. Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. He blots them out for his sake. That's interesting. And will not remember thy sins. God won't remember. Once you have prayed, God, forgive me for this sin, God says, I forgive you, and he forgets. And he goes, I ain't going to remember it anymore. So let me tell you something. God is not forgetful. He can remember if he wanted it. But he says, I am forgiving you, and when I forgave you, I forgot it. Ooh, some of us need to get a hold of that. Well, I remember what they did to me. God says, if you're still remembering, you didn't forgive. Ouch. You didn't forgive. I will not remember thy sins, he says. Put me to remembrance. Let me plead. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayst be justified. What are you going to put God to remembrance to? Oh, God, you remember that sin I did? No, we ain't going to put him in remembrance of that. No, we're going to put him in remembrance of the promises. God, you promised in your word that I'm healed. God, you promised in your word prosperity. God, you promised in your word that if we would do what you tell us to do, that we would be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and that you would guide our footsteps. Put into remembrance of what his promises are. Put into remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou. We've got to declare. I am going to the April quarterly. Make the declaration. I am healed. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. Everything I set my hand to will prosper. God will guide my footsteps. Ishekara. Put me to remembrance, he says. Declare that thou could be justified. This is all part of seizing the kingdom of God with authority. You see, darkness would rather you go, oh, well, you know, poor me, I'm not worthy. What? Well, I just hope my footsteps are guided. Oh, gee, God, it'd be awesome if I hope this works out of what I set my hand to. We speak so much doubt and unbelief, and we may not speak it out verbally, but we think it. We think it. Who am I? You are the sons and daughters of the living God. You are kings and you are priests. And you are so important to God that he sent his only son to die for you and for me. Declare thou. Put me to remembrance that you can be justified. Luke chapter 6. Telling you, seize the kingdom of authority. This is such, I love this sermon. Luke 6:46-49. Why call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? Why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I say? You see, Lord means he's your master. He's your authority. He's the one who's going to tell you what to do. And he says, why do you call me Lord, but then you don't do what I tell you to do? Verse 47. Whosoever comes to me, and here's my saying, and does them, I will show you what he's like. So we have to come to him. We have to hear what he has to say, and we have to do it. We have to come, we have to hear, we have to do. We have to come, we have to hear, we have to do. You have to find the scriptures, you got to hear them and read them, and then you got to do them. You got to come, hear, do. He says, if you do that, I'll show you what you're like. He says, you'll be like a man that builds his house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Your life is going to have floods and storms and wind, but if you are founded on the rock of Yeshua, the Word of God, you'll stand. You can stand. You can stand putting on all that armor. And when the wiles of the devil come, you'll still be standing because you'll understand the spiritual battle that you are in. It's in verse 49. He that heareth and doeth not is like to a man without a foundation built on a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Immediately it fell. Immediately it fell. Immediately it fell. And the ruin of the house was great. Why was it great? Because he thought that his house would stand just like the house that was built on the rock. They both went to the same fellowship. They both came to quarterly. They both bought the material off of the media table. But you see, the difference was the one in verse 48 was doing it, and the one in 49 was not. He was doing what James said. He was hearing, he came, he heard, but he didn't do. He was not willing to do. And because he wasn't willing to do, he thought everything was hunky-dory and the house fell. And he's like, what happened? Well, that didn't work for me. No, because you got to come here, do. Do. You got to do. You got to do. You got to do. You got to do it. We have so many congregations full of people who do not do it. They come, they hear, they shake their head and say, amen, but they don't do it. They don't seize the kingdom with authority. They don't fight the spiritual battles. They would rather someone else fight it. Sister Donna and Prophet Mark and my fellowship leader, they must not be interceding because my house fell. No, not because of lack of intercession. It's because lack of doing. Doing, 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 doing. Come and hear and do. 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 Isaiah, I'm sorry, we're flipping back and forth, but you'll get over it. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now. Woo! I can hear my dad. Come now. That meant you better get a run on and head over here. That didn't mean to just slouch your shoulders and shuffle your feet, take 15 minutes to walk across the yard. When Dad said, come now, you better put a run on. You better hurry up. Mach schnell, he'd say. God says, come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be as wool. Verse 19, if you be willing and obedient. Come now. Let us reason together. Are you going to be willing? Are you going to be obedient? Are you going to come here, do? You be willing and obedient. You can't have one and not the other. Won't work. Won't work. I've given this illustration so many times. All of you that have children, some of you that have been children, you happen to know that there's been times in your life that you have done something, but not willingly. Go clean your room. You're doing dishes tonight. No. God said you've got to be willing and you've got to be obedient. And there's a lot of us that have been obedient, but not willing. Not willing. And if you are doing obedience without willingness, you're not going to eat the good of the land. God said, come now. Be willing and obedient, and you will eat the good of the land. What's the good of the land? All those promises. You, everything you set your hand to will prosper. God will guide your feet. You'll be the head, not the tail. You'll walk in health. You can command the angels. But you have to come now and be willing and obedient. You're going to have to seize the kingdom with authority. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I love this story. I'm telling you, it's an awesome story. 8:43-48. And a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years had spent all of her living upon physicians, and neither could they heal her. I think about people today with cancers. They go and they spend all their money on physicians. One chemo session can cost tens and $30,000. She had suffered with this for 12 years. She came up behind Yeshua and touched the border of his garment, his tallit, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. And Yeshua said, who touched me? Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, you're in a crowd of people. There's a multitude of people here, and they're pressing on me, and you're asking who touched you? You ever been in a crowd of people? You get bumped one way and then another. Somebody steps on your foot. Somebody else throws their backpack over their back, knocks you upside the head. It's like, Yeshua, you're in a multitude of people here, and they're all pressing in, and you want to know who touched you? Be reasonable, Yeshua. What a a crazy thing for him to ask. Who touched me? And Yeshua said, somebody touched me because I perceived that virtue came out of him, of me, excuse me. The anointing. He felt the anointing. That electrical flow of the anointing, the virtue, he felt it, the heat, whatever it was, he felt it come out of him. And he knew somebody had came expecting the anointing to manifest for them. And that's what we tell you. You come to quarterly expecting the anointing. Give you the miracle you need. This woman had had an issue of blood for 4 years, for 12 years, and she had no money left to pay those physicians. It was her last hope. Don't wait till it's your last hope. Verse 47, when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him, and before all the people, what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter. He didn't look at her and say, why did you touch me? I wasn't having a healing line. I was just walking down the street. How dare you pull on the anointing when I'm not in the middle of a meeting? No, he said, daughter, be of good cheer, comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. And quietness is your strength. But you weren't willing. But you weren't willing. But you weren't willing. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it was. Fire. The fire of the day will reveal what manner of work your works were. You see, those fiery darts come. You either buckle under or you take that sword, that shield and that sword, and you start fighting with everything inside of you. But the darts are going to come. The storm is going to come. Darkness is going to do its best to prevent you and me from succeeding. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And there will be given, verse 14, and there will be given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That is what we're looking for. We are in a battle for this to happen. But the saints of the Most High. Now, who are the saints? The saints are the believers. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever. And forever. We are recipients of the kingdom of God. That there is a battle for it. Verse 22, Daniel 7:22. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. But it's going to take believers. 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 I believe the Word of God. I stand on the Word of God. Or do you believe the wind and the waves and the storm and the physicians? Or what do you believe? The believers in God. The believers who have learned to come and seek and hear God's word and do it. And do it. But you are going to have to slap your flesh. You are going to have to tell your flesh, shut up, quit whining. It's war, spiritual war. Let me tell you something. There's no crybaby in the army. There's no diaper changing in the army. That's for boot camp. In boot camp, they'll take care of potty training you. And they'll take care of it quick. One way or the other. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first. What are you seeking first? What are you seeking first in your life? What is it? This tells you what you're supposed to seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His attitude, his character. And all these things will be added unto you. You are to be aiming for, striving for his way of doing things and being right. We like to be right. We like to be right. You know, we like to say, I told you so. So we are to be seeking and striving for his way, his rightness. That's what we're supposed to do. Seek first his kingdom, his kingdom, his kingdom, his kingdom. Seek his kingdom. Find the scriptures. Slap your flesh and make you read them. Have those faith projects. Chapter 7, we're still in Matthew. Chapter 7, 21 through 27. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, shakahashekaha. Not everyone. Verse 21, Matthew 7, not everyone. It says to me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just like that parable of the wise man and the foolish man. There are people who are saying, Lord, Lord, but they aren't going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is heaven. Do what God wants. Don't do what you want. Don't do what I want. Do what God wants. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name we've cast out devils. In thy name we've done wonderful works. He's talking about the church. He's talking about us, Ephraim. And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why? Because they didn't do the will of the Father which is in heaven. They said, Lord, Lord, Jesus, come into my heart. But they didn't do. They came, they heard, but they didn't do. In thy name we've done many wonderful works. And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hears these saying of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. Seize the kingdom. Come, hear, do. Come now, God says. Today is the day. We're going to stay in Matthew. We're going to go down to chapter 18, verse 23. Wherefore is the kingdom likened to a certain king that would take account of his servants? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now let's just put that in American thought. He owed him $10,000. Now I don't know about you, but I don't have $10,000 in my pocketbook. I don't have $10,000 in my checking account. This man owed him $10,000. He must have gotten a loan and he hadn't paid it back. And due date had come. And for as much as he had not to pay his Lord, he commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had in payment be made. Now remember, he's talking about what the kingdom of heaven is like. You have to pay for your loans in heaven. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him and said, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord said of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him. The Bible says that we are filthy rags. But because of the blood of Jesus, we can have forgiveness, and our sins that are crimson red can be white as snow. And this Lord forgave him. But that same servant, he went out and he found one of his fellow servants. Found a neighbor. Found somebody else in the fellowship, which owed him 100 pence. It wasn't even talents that he owed him. He just owed him 10 bucks. And he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat and he said, pay me what you owe. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, for I will pay thee. But look at verse 30. And he would not. And he would not We come to the Father. We say, God, forgive me for my sins, known and unknown. And God says, I forgive you. I won't even remember them anymore. But yet we go to our coworker, to our spouse, to our relative, to our another member of the fellowship. And we hold a grudge. We refuse to forgive them. You don't know, Sister Donna, what they did to me. I don't have to know. Forgive them. Just forgive them. He would not, and he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. I ain't having nothing to do with you, so you give me the $10 you owe me. And so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and they told their Lord all that was done. The sheep will tattle on you. That's what they're supposed to do. And his Lord, after he had called him, said to him, O thou, now look at this. He wasn't called wicked before, but now he's called wicked. Why? Because of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness caused him to be wicked. Your unforgiveness causes you to become wicked. O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because you asked me, you desired me to. Should not you have also had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. When you do not forgive others, you're delivered to the tormentors. And you are tormented. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You see, there's a battle, spiritual battle. And darkness will try to trip you up one way or the other. Look what they did to you. You don't deserve to be treated like that. God says, I forgave you. And if you will not from your heart forgive your fellow servant, I can't forgive you. I can't forgive you. Great will be the fall of your house. Great will be the fall of your house. Because you cried, Lord, Lord. I prayed, I believed, I did this, I did that. This happened and that happened. And I went to the church, the first church of the righteous, and I came to Prophet Decker's meetings. And I had the angel. I felt the angels as they came through. All this had happened. But I couldn't forgive that person because you just don't know what they did to me. Depart from me, wicked servant. Great will be the fall. Great will be the fall. Come here, do. That's all you have to do. Come here, do. Doing is so important. You have to seize the kingdom. We're going to the other side. But there is a storm out there trying to stop you. But if you will apply the faith, if you will speak to the storms, you will go to the other side. Let's pray. Yeka yikuri bishaka. Yekarabashikarabashaka. Yekarabu ko hashe. Don't be the foolish man. Don't be that foolish man. Come here. Do. Ask God to forgive you. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for not doing. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for not forgiving others. Shake out of my. God says, I will forgive you and I'll not remember. Go and do the same. Go and do the same. Yekarabaha. And God wants to heal you. For somebody, you're having something's going on in the calf of your leg. Something's going on. I don't know whether it feels like it's the muscle. God's going to heal that. Put your hand on the calf of your leg. Somebody else, you've got something going on in the joint of your arm. God's going to heal that. Yeah, karabahashikaha. The rest of you, you got something. You put your hand there. Believe God in the name of Yeshua. Yeah, I speak healing. I command the healing in the name of Yeshua. Father, your word says that Yeshua took it. We don't have to take it. Satan, you take your lying symptoms and you leave their bodies. You leave their bodies. In the mighty name of Yeshua, I command the healing. Yaka! 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 I send forth the angels. Cause that healing to manifest. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Now praise him. Hallelujah! Praise you, Father. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Do something you couldn't do. Move that leg around. Move your arm around. Do something you couldn't do before. Hallelujah! Praise him! Praise him! Hallelujah! He is a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He loves you, and he loves me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank each of you for tuning in. And I want to remind you that with God, all things are possible. Shalom.